Hey, everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, somebody's seeing Sherlock Gnomes. Oh, man. All right, let's go.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Ah, yes, some delicious water welcomes us in.
Yay!
This episode of Box Office Breakdown. Of course, this is the show where we look back at the box office that was. And then we like to...
Prognosticate.
About the box office that lie ahead. I'm your host, Frank Moran.
Hey, I'm Carrie Lane.
I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez.
And I'm the Neil Plumley.
And of course, making us look great and sound even better, we've got Anthony in the booth.
Hello, everybody. I'm just working the ones and twos. He is in the booth. You can find me. Oh, you can't. You'll find me later, actually. So, yeah. But anyways, my name is Anthony Becerra. And please enjoy the show.
Only if we're looking for you, Anthony.
Only if we're looking for you.
Yeah.
But as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a thumbs up while you're there. Or 2 or 3 or 4.
All the thumbs. Give them all the thumbs.
Give them all of them. And, of course, we're going to have the chat up and running here. So feel free to chime in and share your thoughts about the movies in general or anything from this box office weekend in particular. So, yeah, we'll just jump right into it. Pacific Rim Uprising. We'll save the good stuff until the end. Pacific Rim Uprising came out from Universal. $28 million. Finally dethroned Black Panther.
I didn't think that was going to happen, to be honest with you.
I think my prediction was it was number one.
I think I agreed that Pacific Rim was going to take number one, only because, I mean, Black Panther, of course, going strong.
It's been out for a while.
Sixth week?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
People have seen it.
So,
and probably seen it more than once, too.
Mm-hmm. And who here has seen, other than Carrie and myself, anybody else seen Pacific Rim Uprising?
I have not. Mm-hmm. I was advised not to.
Oh. Who was your personal movie advisor now, Neil?
Some friendships of mine.
You're who?
Are you going to keep
some friends of
this?
Mine.
Oh, you don't want to give any specific names for fear of retribution towards them?
No, I can shout them out. Garrett Farney, Julia Fang, and I'm sure other people in that group told me not to see it, but I remember you two vehemently telling me not to see that movie.
And telling you not to. See, it's different for someone to be like, it was all right, or it wasn't good, but... Don't see
like
it.
Like, super don't see it.
Well, I know Carrie's got some positive things, but let's start with Neil. What did your friends say to dissuade you?
Were they specific?
They weren't incredibly specific.
Okay.
However,
okay.
They did mention that it was stupid and dumb. A waste of time. It sort of dragged on. It didn't have a lot of point to it, and they didn't like it.
Oh, and that was enough right there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I was good. I mean, I trust them. So if they say don't see a movie, I'm like, right. I'll catch it later, probably. Mm.
Okay. Got it. All right. Well, Carrie, you saw it. Mm-hmm. You liked it.
I did.
You've seen the tweets.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with everybody else when you're like, I'm like, I'm not surprised either.
What did you enjoy about the film?
I thought it was... dumb, you can go a different way and just say it was fun. Like, I didn't...
Sure. Yeah.
It was just fun. Like, no, it's not... Did there need to be a sequel? Do they explore the reason and maybe not motive, but explore more what the kaiju are doing and their purpose? Yes, so that was cool to learn more about that. Some of the parts where it's maybe like you could say it's dumb, the plot gets to it right away. So you're not sitting there as an audience member going, oh my gosh, dude, I totally got this. The next scene, like the characters get there. So you're like, okay, good. So it's not... You know, those movies where it's like 5 steps behind.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. And I just thought the kids were cool. I thought the fighting was fun. Yeah, just very monster. I was like, I think my tweet was pretty much like, yeah, the kids are cool. It's monsters fighting. And it was fun. Like, I don't know why people expect something different. You saw the trailers, right, people? That's what it was.
Okay, so you'd say it's more like you'd enjoy it if your expectations were checked.
I didn't really have any expectations, but it's also like maybe the first one had more like the drama and heart. This was more just younger because your main characters are younger. Not that kids can't have like a deeper substance or something to it, but I felt this one was just more in the realm of fun rather than the drama because it's happened and they're back. So it's not, and we don't have to do the initial premise of like what's going on,
right.
But they explore more what is happening. So I like that.
Cool.
Well, so of course the first one, Guillermo del Toro does it. This one, Stephen DeKnight does it. In terms of how would you stack this up, Stephen's Knight compared to Guillermo del Toro?
The first one?
Or just even this one compared to what Guillermo did. What Stephen DeKnight does in this one to what Guillermo del Toro does in the first one.
I feel they're different vibes. It's been a while since I saw the first one, but I feel they're different vibes. Like as I recall, I felt the first one had more like the drama and the heaviness to it of like, we are saving the world. And this one's more just like...
mindless action.
Yeah, which was fine. Like I just wanted something cool, robots and killer stuff. So that was cool.
I will say it is nice that the fight scenes happen in the broad daylight. So there's no shooting at night, setting it at night so you can hide some stuff in the animation.
Right.
So yeah.
I'll give that.
I do like that also in this one, like they had one little line that I was like, I don't know if I believe that, but they're like, everybody's safe at the underground shelters. I'm like, because they're destroying buildings like no other. And there is one scene where people run to a thing, like a device, and it does go underground, but there's still a lot of other people that don't get inside of it. And so when they're like, yeah, everyone's safe underground, quote unquote, it's like,
Sure. Or they're dead.
Yeah. it's like, I mean, maybe fine. Like, if you aren't, like, super into it, maybe this is more like a matinee or use your movie pass. So I saw a movie pass, guys. It's fine.
No,
you know, I mean, Scott Eastwood is in there, and
okay.
Is he better than Garrett Hedlund? Because he was my one big complaint from the first one. Captain Thumb Pockets walking around. Do you notice him? Garrett Hedlund, he always walks around with his thumbs either in his belt or his pocket, and it just pisses me off, and I don't know why.
You know, it's, I don't know why Hollywood wants me to love Scott Eastwood, and I just can't. He's just so kind of just generic white guy, and I just can't really get into him.
But he's
I think
not,
that's exactly why he's in movies, because he's the generic white guy. He's that's what he was in Fate of the Furious.
Yeah, but
he was a flavorless white dude.
But you know, that,
as a character.
That was just like the sub-in for Paul Walker. And that was like a poor man's,
But see, Paul Walker was great though.
Oh yeah, he's great in that room. But he's like the poor man's. He's saying poor man's Paul Walker is giving him too much credit.
He's like dollar store Paul Walker.
Yeah, that's even too much credit.
Dollar Tree Paul Walker.
Dollar Tree. That's right.
99 cent store.
I don't know. Everything with Charlie Day in this movie, it's just okay. I don't know. It's just kind of.
I like the little girl. She was fun.
Yeah. It's something you haven't seen before, though.
Were you expecting to see something brand new?
Wouldn't you like to? Isn't that why we go to movies, to see something new?
It's part two.
Yeah. It's one. You need to lower your expectations.
Wow. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mindless robots fighting. I'm pretty sure that's how, like, it's just robots, like, cool action flick. Why?
Then you know what? Don't even give me a story. Just show me, you know, 90 minutes of just like a fight scene.
I mean, there's some. Yep. There's enough. And the main characters you care about, they have some development. Because I was thinking, like, I guess there's not a character development. But it's about, the main couple of people. They have more stuff going on with them.
Well, they introduce, like, this weird kind of, like, love triangle that goes nowhere.
That was funny, though. But that's fine.
Why even bother introducing it? Because you did nothing with it.
It's fine. It puts you in the world.
Oh, man. You got to raise your expectations, Karen. Come on.
I think it's a little column A, a little column B.
So you need to take it right down the middle, everybody.
All right. Coming in number two, Black Panther, $16.6 million. Look at that. For domestic, almost $631 million. Number three, I Can Only Imagine, staying strong at $13.8 million. And coming in number four, the subject of this week's box office bet, everybody. Let me just get out of the way. I'm disappointed in all of you. I only asked one thing, and that was to tell everyone you know and love how important it was for them to see Sherlock Gnomes multiple times, and you didn't do that for me. Sherlock Gnomes came in at $10.6 million. Well, just for fun, why don't we just, could you recap what the box office bet was?
I have been waiting all day.
Please recap.
I was at WonderCon earlier today, and we were talking about movies.
And we ran into each other.
We ran into each other. That was great.
Did you guys get a picture?
Yes, we did. Okay. And Alexis with cosplaying, too. So I'm Jessica Jones, if people are like, what are you? Yeah, you can't really tell.
But
looked great.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
While I was there, I was like, oh my God, I haven't checked the numbers yet. So I go and check the numbers, and ever since that moment, I've just been waiting for this one. And now we're here. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the recap of Sherlock Gnomes and our bets, respectively. The winner of this week's box office bet was Tony B. Tony,
Ayo.
Up in the booth with $12 million. Everyone applaud Tony. because he won.
Yeah.
Amy, the above
percentage. Thank you. Thank you.
Second place is tied, held by yours truly and Amy Cassandra Martinez, with $13 million. Congratulations to you.
You too.
Thank you. In a third place, since we tied for second, is K.R.D. Lane with $19 million. A deep shot, but held safe by Frank Moran.
Okay, guys,
come
in at number five this week.
$20 million.
So hopeful. So hopeful.
$20 million.
So gnomeful.
On Sherlock Gnomes. And you know what, Frank? I was thinking about this earlier, and actually, I want to make it a little bit easier on you, and I want to be with you when you go and see Sherlock Gnomes.
Oh,
that's solidarity.
I'll be watching another movie, but I definitely want to see what your face looks like when you come out of the theater. I want to be right there for it.
Man.
So let me know when you go, and I'll see if I can make time.
I'm so sad.
What a great day.
Good stuff, guys. I had more hopes for this. All right. Fine. Thank you, everybody. I didn't even look at my tweets. I'm sure Star Drew sent something scathing about me.
Well, if he did, he didn't tag me in it. Or if he did tag me in it,
I didn't get something either, yeah.
No, he didn't do anything.
Star Drew.
What? Why?
I live for those
he
thoughts.
He needs the shade.
That's right. And rounding out our top five, Tomb Raider from Warner Brothers, $10.4 million.
I caught that yesterday,
and
I enjoyed it.
I caught half of that yesterday.
How do you catch half of it?
I fell asleep during the first 40.
No, so
the first 40.
So Neil, your thoughts on it?
My first impression was I really like that fox hunt thing.
Yes,
that they had, and I want to do that with some of my friends. That's just
though
sort of a side
polluting job. And leaving chemicals everywhere, but that's okay.
But you
whatever
know, you can get, you know, just don't get lead based.
Maybe
paint,
the
bio you'll be okay.
Exactly. There we go.
But for the rest of the movie, I really enjoyed it. There's a couple lines that I really didn't like. You know, the cliche ones, like this trap was. It wasn't placed here to keep people out.
The opening line.
It was meant to keep people in. And I'm like, shut. It's a narrow hallway. It does both.
Can I talk
it
about
does both things. It keeps people from coming in and out.
I remember there was.
You can't escape it.
I want to touch on the line in the beginning where he's talking about the map. He's like, I have the map that has a marking on it, and it's the only one. I was just like, what?
I mean,
do you remember
sure.
That was so.
I mean, yeah, but that's. I mean, you can.
I laughed out loud.
He was crazy in his obsession, so.
You sort of have the glaze past that because they're just trying to get you up to speed.
That was so trash. I don't know.
That was like a post-production thing. They probably didn't write that in the script when they're shooting it. So I'll give that one a pass.
What did you think of her?
Oh, I thought she was great. She was fantastic.
Yeah, she rocked.
Oh man,
it.
Especially when she raided the camp with the little bow and arrow,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, damn, you're straight up like. Mm-hmm. Just American dudes.
That's the part I woke up in.
Oof.
I caught all that
cool.
stuff.
I really like movies like that where like the secret isn't exactly what they thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I like that little sort of not really a twist, but sort of like a different perspective.
Interpretation.
On what the bad thing was at the end. It's still a bad thing, but how it sort of shifted for the audience, and I was like, oh. That I mean, it doesn't really change, like, it sort of changes your idea of what it is,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't really change the consequences of being in there, but it was sort of like, oh, that's nice. So, I mean, I like stuff like that. I just like, you know, tomb movies, too, just, you know, like the mummy.
It's exciting. Oh, my gosh, I retweeted it. Someone did a mummy cosplay for WonderCon.
Yeah, I ran into them.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
They looked awesome.
They had an O'Connell and an Evie and...
Someone's all, where's Benny?
Jonathan?
And
or Benny, yeah.
No.
Someone
the...
tweeted, they go, where's Benny? And someone reply goes, the other side of the river.
No, it was, the other guy was one of the Magi.
Looked good.
Yeah, he looked really cool. He had a big old sword.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Tomb Raider. I liked it. A lot of fun.
Good.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
So that runs on our top five. I know some other people have seen some other movies in addition to that. So who else has seen some other movies other than our...
Me and I believe Amy and I?
Yeah.
Yes.
Saw Unsane.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Amy.
Okay, so Unsane was surprisingly good because I didn't know what to expect going in.
Mm-hmm.
The entire movie shot on an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, all right. I mean, iPhones can shoot pretty well, so I was looking forward to it. And everyone just really brought it, and I left really terrified. The next day, I saw people that looked a certain way, and so I was just kind of jumpy. I think that's how you know that a movie did its job. Claire Foy. Claire Foy did really well.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then there were certain scenes where if they stopped trying so hard with certain framing and angles and they got to like the root of it, that's when you were like, yeah, give me some more of that. So I really liked it. I've been telling my friends, like, hey, go watch it if you can. My friend in Galveston was able to see it. So, I mean, you probably can too. And she really liked it. She doesn't go to the movies often. So I was like, okay, there's something about this movie that's drawing people, and it should. So yeah, I definitely recommend it so you can have your own opinions about it. And if you get scared easily, just still go see it. Because why not? Yeah.
Well, if you get still,
you're
go
selling
see
it better than Tony's tweet.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Haters are gonna hate, and that's okay. And we all have different opinions, so I would love to hear yours.
Bless.
All right. Well, I already have. She like prefaced that I'm already hating it, which I don't.
No. I said she sold
so
it better. Than
anyways.
The tweet.
No. Yeah. I mean, it was a good movie. Pretty much. I liked the direction it took it in. It was very like. At first, it was very cliched until a certain point. I'm like, oh, cool. All right. So they're all like, I just remember thinking, like, oh, they are actually doing this. I was like, oh, all right, cool. And I like that idea. And I haven't seen a movie done that before. That's me personally. I'm sure there's like tons of movies that do it. I thought it was a good ride. I loved the camera and how everything looked because it made me feel so stressed out. It made me feel so uncomfortable, and it made me just feel anxious. It was very close, like tight shots. It was very very saturated and very contrasted shots and the color and everything.
Grainy.
A lot of orange. Oh yeah, it's grainy too. Yeah, but I mean, it's on an iPhone, so it's understandable.
But does it feel like the graininess fits with the vibe of it?
Oh yeah, because it has to do with her mental psychology. So like the picture for having the picture, what you're seeing is not very clear. It goes with the whole movie of what it's trying to set up. Like if what she's going through is really in her head or if it's real life.
Yeah.
And you kind of like keep going with it until there's a certain point where like there's just like there's a scene that happens in the woods. And the color palette completely changes and it becomes all blue. And that's when I felt like the release of stress from me because I was not seeing what I was used to seeing anymore. So it, like my mood and everything completely started changing. And I was just like, oh, wow, I thought that was so brilliant because it's like kind of like the climax of the movie. And after what happens, you just feel a sense of relief afterwards. And I think it has to do with mental patients and like how once they find that release or like, I don't know, I'm still like still working it out. It's still simmering. Overall thoughts, I thought it was great. So the music choice was really weird. I don't think the music choice fit with it like that well. I really kind of disliked the music because I was just like, what kind of freaking music is this? And also the credits looked so cheap. Like, I know that's a weird nitpick thing, but like the credit rolling, like it looks so cheap to me.
Sure.
And I was just like, okay. But overall, it was a fun view. It's very. I'm still on the fence as whether or not like you should go watch it in theaters or not. I would just say, yeah, just go watch it. Yeah.
Ken, Jack, and Lawrence in the chat said they liked it.
Well, see, I like how it ends because it's not just a happy little ding ding. Everything's perfect, and it's realistic. Just gonna leave it at that.
Yeah,
the music.
It does wrap it up in a nice little bow at the end. Like with a nice little package. It's just
She said it didn't.
I said it didn't.
No, yeah, it did.
No, it didn't.
Oh, like, I like that you both feel differently though about it.
But not in a certain way here.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So you guys go watch it.
It's a messy bow. It's a messy bow.
It's a curly bow.
There was an attempt at a bow.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better. That's better. There's an attempt at a bow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I ended up seeing Game Night finally.
Hey,
yeah.
That was kind of. I remember that sequence that you really liked in the middle, the keep away.
Keep away, right?
That was really nice.
That
done.
Really didn't have any right to be as good as it was.
Yeah.
In that movie.
But no, that was a fun watch, and then I saw A Wrinkle in Time as well.
Oh, what'd you think?
Yeah, I'm not surprised you felt that way.
Oh, I'm dead inside, guys. We all know that. Yeah, I thought it was interesting with Mindy Kaling's character. So, well, one, you
well,
was,
no,
like,
that character. Literally in the book, only talks in quotes, and not that often. That no. It's like.
But I also feel like that's the example of like, oh wait, this is also set in 2018, so we can throw in a lot more current. So I'm just like, whatever with that.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed a little tiresome. But then her setup is that at one point when she starts losing her powers, then she starts speaking again because she can no longer say stuff. And then at the end of the film, she gets all juiced up again, and she's still just talking like a regular person. I'm like, well, what's up?
Yes.
You're supposed to be your quote machine now at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she ain't.
Hmm.
That movie stinks. Get it out of here.
No, that movie's... I have to agree. It's a bad movie.
No, it's
a bad movie. The message is great. The message is great, but the movie is horrible. It's horrendous. It's not... like, how do you spend $100 million on a movie like this and make it look like that? Like, what? Are you kidding me right now, Disney?
I think viewers just have to see... like, what our tastes are like, because I'm sure that there's people out there that are like, okay, I agree with everything Frank says. I agree with everything that...
Nobody says that.
No one says that. it's just... that's interesting. That's what I'm going to say, because we're both like, no, come on, don't say that.
I just feel when people are something like, it's a horrible movie or it's one of the worst movies, I'm like, there's a lot worse out there.
Yeah
but your like, standards for a worst movie is really at a weird spot.
Okay, so quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better or worse than Oz the Great and Powerful?
Better, because Oz the Great and Powerful, that was so disappointing.
Okay, because that was about $100 million and it was trash.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I'm like, I did see that one on
Sam
video.
Sam Raimi, James Franco.
He was the big mistake in that movie. He should not have been cast.
It should have just been, I mean, we can get into a whole topic, but.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't hate it.
But imagine somebody like Robert Downey Jr.
I'm all, I didn't hate that one. I kind of liked it.
No, imagine that not happening at all and have it just be Wicked.
Then there was the Tin Man series, which was, that was a TV miniseries, but that's okay.
That was a good series.
With Neil McDonough. There you go.
Zooey Deschanel, who's playing Zooey Deschanel?
Yeah, but James Franco is not a charming enough con man to make that part work. So you need
somebody. He just looks like he's always up to no good.
Yes,
that doesn't help.
No, not at all.
Okay.
All right. So that is our recaps of the latest films in the box office. But of course, we're going to do another box office bet to hopefully wash the stink off of Sherlock Gnomes off of me. I don't know how lucky I'll get on that one. But we'll have two films for your contention. One, a little small indie film you may have not heard of. Ready Player One.
I'm trying not to get too excited.
Contestant Uno.
Ah, thank you.
Is the actual title.
That's beautiful.
And 4,100 plus screens.
That's a lot.
And then Tyler Perry's Acrimony. 2,000 screens there from Lionsgate.
I'm so ready for Acrimony.
Has anyone actually heard about this?
Yes, they've had a trailer for it for a long time.
Oh. With what movie?
The Taraji P. Henson. I've seen posters.
I don't know,
for
just
it.
And I saw it online.
She's married, and then the husband like leaves her for another woman, and then she's all like, he made me promises. And now,
like what?
Like it's revenge, but it's he just cheated on her, and that's it. And it's like, but she's ready to murder him. And
wow, I do not remember.
I gotta say, it looks a lot better than most of his films. Like the way, like the stylization of this film, like it actually looks like it's like higher budget, like on camera wise.
But also the part where Madea shows up. That's not true.
Yeah.
I was sitting here not doubting it, though.
So confused.
Is the thing. Okay. I was sitting here like, I haven't seen the trailer, so
yeah,
probably
she teams up with Madea and they go they go track this girl down.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they've had previews for it for a long time, but it's one of those movies where it's like they had trailers, kind of disappear, then they come back. I'm like, oh yeah, no, I saw that advertised a long time ago. I'm like, oh, it's not out yet?
Yeah, like Mamma Mia. I saw a bunch of trailers and then they didn't go anywhere. I mean, then they stopped, and then I was like, wait.
So, all right, anybody that's seen these trailers, it feels like they're really being elusive about what the deal is with Meryl Streep
in
this film.
She's dead, for sure.
You think
right?
So?
She's for sure dead.
Yeah. I feel closer to her.
As the prophecy foretold.
She probably just didn't want to do it anymore.
It did?
Yeah.
What was the prophecy?
The Mamma Mia prophecy, Meryl Streep. Hold on.
That's,
it has been written.
But they get, it seems so weird to me that they get everybody else back, but she's the one lone holdout. Like, no thanks.
Well, she's also back, but just not alive, right? Like, she's in the movie, right?
I don't know.
I mean, because anything you saw in the trailer are just flashbacks from the first film.
Maybe she was just like, yeah, that was fun the first time. I don't do sequels.
But I can see that if a lot of the cast wasn't returning, but when you get everybody else.
Yeah, everybody's back.
And then she's like, it seems weird.
Wait, no, they could afford everyone else because they don't have mail.
That's true.
Done.
Solved.
Yeah.
But
you're welcome, America.
And Pierce seems so happy in those trailers, too. So I feel like if it's somebody that had, like...
Because he's the biggest star now.
Well, well yeah, but I mean, that was, you know, they finally reunited after all this time.
I feel like I'm solving this puzzle.
What are the...
all the answers are right here.
Will Pierce Brosnan be a better singer than he was the first time?
Oh, no.
No, he will be worse.
Yes.
Anthony would love to talk about Isle of Dogs.
Yeah, I wasn't sure it was okay to go back to this real quick. I'll just be really brief of it. It's a freaking hilarious film, I gotta say. It's so funny, and it has so much heart. And just the stylization of everything about that film is beautiful. And I have nothing but good things to say. I have yet to say, like, find a bad thing, but I'm sure there are some I just haven't seen yet. But overall impressions, my God, it was my favorite movie I saw this weekend.
I can't specifically say what they were, but the most commentary I heard that's negative is more involved with, like, race representation, essentially, but of what?
They're in Japan.
It's interesting they're in Japan and they're Japanese dogs, but they have American accents. But I can't comment. I haven't seen it yet, but...
But that's also like a Wes Anderson thing, appropriating
and Wes Anderson's
really cool looking cultures with white
bizarre.
People.
Yeah.
Also, I really just don't like Wes Anderson. I think he could suck an egg.
I don't love the films either.
Hot take.
I'm not as like, I'm more like every album. But
just don't like it.
Probably see it eventually.
All right. I also saw I Kill Giants, too, that came out this week.
How was it?
A limited theatrical release and then also on video on demand. It was good. It was good. I enjoyed it.
You liked a movie?
You enjoyed it.
Are you going to reveal what happened at the end? Or what you did at the end, Frank?
Oh, that's only for select listeners.
Oh, okay.
No, I cried at the end, guys.
You cried?
I cried at the end. There you go.
Wow.
Well, that alone makes me want to watch it.
And I was so freaked out. I did not know what these emotions were. What is happening to me?
Wow.
There you go.
And his heart grew by 3 sizes that day.
Fixer, it didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm crying. I gotta get
Chris
this.
Gotta capture this.
Yes.
But no, it's a really great adaptation by Joe Kelly, who wrote the original comic book series.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the screenplay as well and did a really great job adapting it.
Had you read
it.
The comic at all?
It's on my bookshelf with a laundry list of many other titles that I need to read.
Also.
So, but I'm interested in going back. From what I've heard, it's more of a... alternate take on the material. It's just kind of like filling in some of the gaps that the comic book series deals with.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you guys are fans of Frank, which I know you are because you're watching him right now, and if you love the Popcorn Talk Network, Frank was actually able to interview the director of I Kill Giants.
Hey! Ooh.
On iTalk Movies.
I did? When did that happen?
Last week.
Yeah.
Earlier.
I don't remember that. Last Tuesday on the Popcorn
cool.
Network, yes.
Wow. Nice.
Very, very nice. Anders Walter, very nice gentleman. There you go.
That's awesome.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, guys. Hooray.
Good
go
job.
Check it out.
Hip, hip, hooray.
He was a really interesting filmmaker. So he won an Academy Award a couple years back back in 2014 for a short film. So,
nice.
Keep an eye out on him. I'd be curious to see what he does next. This is
cool.
A really good, debut for a feature-length film.
Cool.
All right, so folks, I mentioned the two films that we got for the box office bet.
Ready Player One.
Yes.
I'm trying not to get overexcited. How are you feeling, Neil? Because I know you read the book.
I'm trying to keep it.
I know. Yeah, I'm like,
I'm trying to keep it on the level.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched every trailer, or have you like come to the point where you're like,
I've watched every trailer. I frame by framed them.
And
I'm into it.
Has your enthusiasm ramped up or leveled up?
It's... You know what? It leveled up. It went Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
my excitement level. It's over 9,000.
So, how are you going to feel going into this film? Do you feel like it's only downhill from here?
I'm trying to. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to. I spent months going up, and now I'm like, I just gotta keep it level.
Just a few more days, man.
I know.
A few more days.
I'm seeing it tomorrow.
Don't tell me that. Because now tomorrow, all day, I'm going to be like, does Carrie like it? Am I going to like it?
I'll be like, no, I started rereading the book, so I tweeted at you about it, and I'm like, oh, it's making me so much more excited. But then there's like little things. I'm like, I can see they've already changed that. But I'm like, it's okay. Just wait.
It has to change a little bit.
No, there's certain things that you're like, And they give away some stuff that I was like, We're not going to say them because then y'all be like, well, that thing.
But it's okay because they might get rid of those twists and turns and put in new twists and turns.
That's true. But it's me too. I'm like, I haven't been really excited for a movie in a while, and so I'm trying not to be. But I'm like, and I'm doing the experience on Friday too.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I've heard that that is.
I've heard that's really awesome.
I've heard the opposite.
Really? Oh, yes. All my friends who've done it are like, yeah, it's so cool.
It's like everything in life with these two.
Yeah. That it's, I've
it's
heard
great,
that
it's great. It's terrible. It's great. It's terrible. It's great.
I'm super excited.
I've heard the issue is that you can see people ahead of you, and so you lose some of the.
Well, it's
thrill of discovery.
I think it depends what time you go, because my friend went. They had a different special group, and they had a big group. Because I was when you sign up, it's only five people at a time, and so I would hope they would like slowly go. I don't know. We'll find out. I'll let y'all know by next week. You know, like it's like a haunted maze thing. You should let the people in front of you go for a bit, and then let you go.
Right.
It's when it's just walking, and we'll find out.
Yeah, well, people are dumb. You really need people at the door to be like, no.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay. Hold on. Let's go. Yep.
All right.
Like a water slide.
When are you seeing it, Neil?
You know what? I don't know.
What?
What?
For somebody who was so excited, you don't know.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm really excited, but I'm also trying to.
No, right?
So I'm going to figure it out, and I'll let you know.
Well, hopefully by next Sunday, you'll have seen it.
Yeah.
Who'd hope?
Just play cool, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope I like enough that I want to go see it again, maybe.
Nice. Well, certainly I know some of the complaints were about the treatment of Iron Giant in the film, but then reading that they used Iron Giant because that's a property they could use, that the original character in the novel, they couldn't get the rights
to. They could not use Ultraman.
Yes.
Ah.
And Spider-Man, I think.
So, you know, I mean, it's...
See, there's some adjustments like that where I'd be like...
Yeah.
I feel like, did you end up reading it?
I don't know how to read.
Yeah,
so, someday.
Book on CD, that's what I'm doing.
I don't know how to listen.
Especially to Will Wheaton.
Fair enough. Yeah, it is Will Wheaton, which I didn't... The first time I never noticed anything that was like, meh, and then someone's like, I don't like how he pronounces things, and then now the second time,
that
like...
that was probably me, because I hate how he talks.
Joel said there's a couple words, and that I didn't notice the first time, but the second time I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not exactly how you say that. But then whoever directed him while they're in their session didn't go, let's say that again.
Yeah. I don't like how he always talks like this.
It's not that bad in that one.
No, he does like a Hyundai commercial, and it's the same thing. He's like, the all-new 2012 Hyundai Elantra.
Oh,
and I'm like,
I've heard of that.
Are you?
Well, when you're listening to this, okay, if you guys haven't read or listened to Ready Player One, the audio recording is not that bad. It's great while you're driving because it's like, it goes with the flow of the action that's going on, so
it's probably not that bad. I just really don't like it.
All right.
That's me. I'm sorry.
Before we get into our box office bet and next week's top five prediction, we'll do a quick run through of somebody that's going to be involved in a film coming up this weekend. A little box office rewind. There you go. I thought we'd do it for the man himself, Steven Spielberg.
Oh, Spielberg.
That's right. In honor of Amy's cat.
Are you excited? Yes.
That's right. Quick run back, so, you know, he's got so many, so we'll just do a big quick run through of his top 10. Number 10 is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Boom.
Yay.
Back in 84, made 25.3.
Wait, no, I like Temple of Doom. I'm sorry. I miss booed. I like Temple of Doom.
I was like, this is a good one.
9, Artificial Intelligence from Warner Brothers. Boom. Back in 01.
Yeah, I liked it.
29.3.
Yep. It's good.
What? You don't like Artificial Intelligence?
Yeah.
No, boo on that.
Oh, my. I like it.
Well, yeah.
I like it.
It's multiple endings kind of get a little, so... If it were to
like it
one
kept
point.
Ending, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it were to stop at
yeah.
one point.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
I
true.
Agree with
that's
that.
True. But I mean,
overall, though, it's good.
Yeah, I dig it.
It's like Transformers 4.
Number 8, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade from Paramount back in 89, 29.3. Really? I enjoyed that one.
Really?
I didn't like Connery.
Really? I thought they were great together.
They were perfect as like parent
like
and child.
I liked all the chalice stuff. You know, the whole end bit was great. The Leap of Faith was fantastic. I thought that was a really great twist. I just didn't like Connor.
Jehovah spelt with an I. number 7, Catch Me If You Can.
Yes.
From DreamWorks.
Yes.
Love that movie.
Back in 02, $30 million. Number 6, Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Trash. No, I'm
30.5.
No, I'm kidding. I love it. That's one of my favorite horror movies.
Oh, we got a booer here.
Yeah, boo. I don't like Saving Private Ryan.
Right? Why is that?
Wow.
Why? Because you don't like Vin Diesel.
I
know there's a lot of people in that movie that you're like, what?
I just never liked it.
That scene with Adam Goldberg always just still sticks with me.
Oh my god!
Yeah, that's
so good.
That's, yeah, that's good. I mean, as a whole, I'm like, I can leave it.
Wow.
Earn it.
Okay.
Earn it. this.
Yeah. One of my a friend of mine just hated that scene, and she could never let it go. Like that two words ruined the whole movie for her.
Hey, no changing votes, people in the chat. People are like, wait, I'll go this one. Stop it.
Coming to number five, Minority Report, back in 2002, $35.6 million.
Love it.
Good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff.
Number four, of course, Jurassic Park from Universal. Yes. $43.47 million.
It's all right. I'm just kidding.
War of the Worlds is number three, back in Paramount in 2005, 64.8.
I love that movie.
That's one of my favorites.
It has a great setup, but what happens with the sun? Stupid.
Yeah.
That ruined the movie.
I agree that it sort of goes downhill, but I love it for that beginning.
But the beginning, like
the runaway in the minivan, and all of that,
the camera rotating.
Whoa.
That is beautifully
done. That was insane. I love that.
I wish they would have had the courage just to kill the son, because that's what should have happened.
Mm. That would have been, that would have been.
You mean the teenager?
Yes.
Because it was son and daughter.
Yeah. Where then he just like happens to just show up.
Yeah,
again.
Then it's...
Yeah, it was unbelievable at the end. I was like,
bigger stakes.
Mm-hmm. Coming to number two, The Lost World, Jurassic Park, $97, $72 million.
Is that the third? No, Lost World's
that's,
four.
Oh, yeah. That's
I've taken a gymnastics class. Let me do an Olympic routine.
That was so...
Is that the fourth one?
That was the second one.
Lost World's second one.
Yeah.
Well, in the... Dr. Elliot in the book technically does a cool gymnastic routine thing to get away from the... Velociraptors, but that didn't end up in the movie.
Right. No. Well,
but it's really
bad.
Cool in the book.
The and Vince Vaughn's character just like disappears once they get off the island. Like
I love how he's like, I'm a photographer, I'm a secret agent.
Yeah, like we never hear from him again. Of course, number one, surprisingly, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Boo.
$100 million.
I was like, oh,
2008.
Super boo.
That's
super boo.
Such a surprise to me. He has such better films out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just that.
That's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Shia LaBeouf with those monkeys swinging through. Just like the effects were so bad.
It's one of the,
All right. So let's quickly do our top five and then we'll do our box office bet. So, of course, we've got adding into our top five this week, we're going to have Tyler Perry's Acrimony. And Ready Player One.
The Ready Player One radio ads are so dumb. I don't know. Have you heard them? I forget which station it was, but just how they advertise them. Like, I would not see this movie because I'm so annoyed by this dumb ad. I'm just curious how many people who haven't read the book, like, you haven't read
it. I haven't.
But seen the trailer? Have you seen
Oh, I want to see
okay,
it.
Okay, cool.
Oh, I'm pumped. All right. I don't care about getting too excited. I'm ready for it.
Well, I'm curious how the people who are like, it's a book, what? And then... They're excited.
No,
the
I'm
latest,
not here for it.
What they call the Take on Me trailer, is really really explanatory of the world and everything.
Oh, okay.
He goes into this whole thing. He's like, "This is the Oasis," and like shows you what it is.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm like, excited. Yeah.
I read the first page or the first chapter.
Okay.
Of it,
okay.
So.
Well, it's tiny baby steps.
There's parts in the trailer where I'm like, "That's not in the book." Then I'm get curious.
Book.
So I feel like the biggest thing this week will be Tyler Perry's Acrimony. Where do we think that will fall in?
Fourth?
No,
sixth.
Yeah.
Sixth? All right, you don't think it makes the top five?
I don't know. Let me look at the list.
Do we think Ready Player One could beat Pacific Rim?
No, Acrimony will come in at fourth.
I mean, I could see it coming in at three.
Okay, that's a good point. Yusuf in the chat said, haven't read the book, but it looks interesting. And people mentioning that there's a lot of Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. And then that's what's interesting. I think the nostalgia will pull people in, even if they have no idea what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's such a good book.
All right. So, do we see Ready Player One number one? Anybody
contest
that?
Yeah.
Pacific Rim number two? Anybody contest that?
No.
I agree.
I won't contest that.
I'm going to throw out Acrimony as number three after that.
I'm going to say Black Panther.
No, I'm going to say Black Panther.
Black Panther, then Acrimony.
Don't underestimate Tyler Perry fans, though.
Yeah. You're going to go with Acrimony as number three?
Yes. Acrimony, then Black Panther, and then...
I'm going to say, I can only imagine. That's
still
holding strong.
We'll keep on holding number five.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can only imagine. That's...
But you have a flip meal? You think it's going to be Black Panther then Acrimony?
No. I think, actually I do. I think it's going to be Ready Player One, Pacific Rim, Black Panther, I Can Only Imagine, and Acrimony.
Oh.
All right. Okay. Interesting.
I Can Only Imagine, they increased their theater count by 600 or so, and it had a stupid low drop. Partly because of that, but also, I mean, you don't add 642 screens and only drop like 19% if you're a bad movie. Yeah. Or you're a movie that isn't getting traction, I should say. So it's getting traction from somewhere. I think it'll hold on.
Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, it's time as we're wrapping up here to do our box office bet. So, of course, as always, folks, we're going to bet on whatever you in the chat room have decided is the movie that we should bet on for the coming weekend. And whoever's closest gets the bragging rights of being prognosticator. Prognosticator is the loser. Gets to go see a movie and tell us all about it. Like Sherlock Gnomes, for example.
I'm so excited for you to see it.
Like that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, Amy.
I can't even put words into my excitement. Yeah.
All right. What is our final tally for
looks
this?
Like I want a recount.
You want a recount?
Yeah. I know some people were like, hey, vote for this, and someone changed their vote, so... Looking at you.
Uh-oh.
That's cheating.
Well, what was our...
man.
Where were we at before that happened there?
Ken Jack says he's not happy about it, but it won. So I guess we got to do that. Everyone's face right now.
Oh, man. Okay.
last one? I'm blanking right now. The one she did...
Proud Mary.
Yeah.
Like, that looked cool. This one, I'm just like...
It's like a woman scorn getting vengeance.
Yeah, but just because he cheated, not like... I mean, yes, that's not like a little thing, but it's not like justice for murder.
Yeah. But. Well, it's Taraji P. Henson, 2,000 screens from Lionsgate. Neil's thinking number five.
Three.
We're saying three. Amy Cassandra, are you going with three or four?
Three.
All right.
But Neil, you said four?
Five.
Five, yeah. Okay.
Alright.
No one's throwing numbers, are they? Oh.
Sometimes you have to just look within.
Sky says 30.5 for Ready Player One, Black Panther at 12, Acrimony at 10.5. Okay. And then I don't know. Oh, Teresa says 13. Oh, Beyonce. Yeah, Obsessed. No, see, Obsessed. It's more entertaining if you watch it as a comedy. Just saying.
Alright.
Ken Jack says 16.
Anthony, do you have your numbers?
Number.
Number. You know what? All right, stand by for 1 second. I know Carrie Lane still has to type something in.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Neil, are you good?
I feel like my bet is a little mean. I don't know. All right.
Let's hear it. Anthony, kick it off for us.
Oh, dang it. No.
Okay, so it's going to be $8 million for me.
Okay.
All right.
Good bet.
Okay.
Good bet.
Neil?
I'm sitting pretty at 10 million.
Oh! Amy Cassandra Martinez.
13.
17.5.
Oh my God.
Damn it.
12!
12!
Oh, no. I got the lowest.
Yes!
That's fine.
Do you want to also throw out some, just for fun, Ready Player Ones? Because I have one written down for myself.
All right.
Bonkers. It's going to do bonkers.
Right, I hope so.
Doesn't it? It's released on Thursday, right?
It's released Wednesday.
Wednesday night or Thursday, full release. I'll just go off 41. The top of my head.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
Man, okay.
Okay, I got one.
All right.
Did you have a statistics of the last something that they did and how much it made?
Well, it's tough with, because Spielberg's dramas have
This one's different, yeah.
Big gangbusters. Like, this is going to be.
What's the rating on this?
Like, oh, I bet it's PG-13. They're not going to go
NC-17.
No.
NC-17. all right. Anthony, you got a number you want to toss out?
Yeah, I do. $45
million. All right. I was just thinking. I didn't write it down, but I actually did just think
Neil,
45.
Neil, your boy?
Chipboy.
150.
No!
I love it!
Okay.
For this.
To the stars.
Okay, 115.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Carrie Lane?
I'll be honest. I didn't type it, but as soon as Anthony said it, I was right. I'm going to stick with the 45.
I went 75.
Ooh. We got a good spread. Nice. A good wide spread.
There you go.
Why is it so hard to tell? But, you know.
It should be an interesting box office week.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Box Office Breakdown. But as always, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Throw a bunch of thumbs up there. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat and joining us. Of course, we couldn't do the show without you every single week. And if you're watching after we stream live, Carrie, what can they do?
You can comment down below.
No idea of a question you'd love them to answer?
Well, since Ready Player One is coming out, which is, what's something you've seen in the trailer that's like your favorite nostalgia reference? Because there's been a lot of references to nostalgic stuff, so what has been your favorite reference in any of the Ready Player One trailers?
Man, I'll just throw out managing the DeLorean, just like doing a lot of cool moves.
Yes.
Mine is Kaneda's motorcycle.
Ah, nice.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, follow Neil Plumley's journey to Ready Player One. See how he survives coming through the other side. But until then, folks, if you want to stay in touch with any of us on social media, Anthony, where can they find you, sir?
Oh, I'm first. Sorry. I didn't expect that. Hello, everybody. My name is Anthony Becerra. You can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_, as well as earlier today on Sundays at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Krypton After Show that just started today, as well as on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's usually where I work, at 4 p.m. I do horror movie news. So if you guys like horror movies, I do it with Carrie, along with Oliver Drennan, who you've probably seen around. And yeah, so follow me everywhere at TonyBTony_. Thank you so much.
Brilliant. And if you want to check up on what I'm doing, which isn't very fun or amazing, you can find me at places where people are found, at the Neil Plumley, which is TheNeilPlumley.
And you guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. Feel free to follow me on YouTube. I've been putting up some pretty cool videos.
Oh. Yeah, she's doing all these cool reaction videos. She's cool like that. And my name's Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie, or just find me in a theater. You can listen to the sobs as I'm watching Sherlock Gnomes. folks, we'll see you back here next Sunday night for another episode of Box Office Breakdown. Until then, go see some movies. Go eat some popcorn. We love you.
See ya.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.